Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 17th, 2021. Today is Wednesday in the fourth week of Lent. We come today to the 13th chapter of John. And the first few verses of that chapter record one of the most poignant and intimate stories in all the Gospels. It's only found in John. And it is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Jesus and the disciples are gathered together for what will be their last supper. They are commemorating the Passover. And while they're at the table, Jesus gets up, gets a basin of water, a towel, and proceeds to wash all the disciples' feet. An act of humility and service. He even washes the feet of the one who will betray him in just a few hours. We can only imagine what that was like for Judas. After he's finished washing everyone's feet, Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord," and you're right about that. But if I, your teacher and Lord, will wash your feet, then you ought also to wash one another's feet. And if you follow this commandment that I have given you, this commandment of mutuality in service to each other, happy are you. You're blessed by doing so. This will be the second Maundy Thursday at Trinity Church that we will not be able to commemorate the washing of the disciples' feet by washing each other's feet because of all things pandemic. To be honest, though, at least once every year as we're approaching the commemoration of Maundy Thursday and the washing of the disciples' feet, someone will say something like, "Can't we find a more relevant way to commemorate foot washing than actually washing each other's feet? Do we have to take that so literally?" And I get it. It's particularly uncomfortable to have someone who's not a family member, even if they are a trusted friend, it's hard to sit there and let them touch your feet, like out in public. It's uncomfortable because we have our own personal space issues, we have our own body issues, we have all of the things going on with, like, feet, right? All of our feet have borne the weight of our lives, and in a lot of ways, our feet show it, right? So it's hard, and it is a way, I think, of once a year remembering that we're not just called to dress up in pretty robes and do pretty liturgies, but we're literally called to serve one another. And sometimes that service takes a turn of being particularly difficult. Well, we're not the only ones with feet issues. When Jesus gets to Peter, Peter says, "You're not planning to wash my feet, are you?" And Jesus says, "That's exactly what I'm going to do." And then Peter says, "Not me. No, no, you're not going to do that." Well, what Peter was saying in initially refusing to have Jesus wash his feet is, "I'm not worthy of my teacher and Lord to wash my feet." And then Jesus says, "If you don't let me do this, you have no part with me. You've missed the whole point." Well, as I've lived amongst Episcopalians for 30 plus years, here's what I've come to understand. We are often far better at serving others and doing for others and giving to others than we are at receiving another's ministry or receiving a gift from one another. Particularly for those of us who are in congregations of means, like, you know, suburban, sort of affluent parishes, Our instinct is to believe that we have so much we should receive nothing, but we should always be giving to others. And I think that instinct is generally good, except when that instinct to serve becomes a matter of pride. Peter, in a moment of pride, was proud of how humble he was. Lord, you're not going to do this. I understand who you are, and you're not. I'm not worthy. And so in that moment, Peter's proud of how he understands Jesus' authority. And Jesus quickly helps him understand that the relationship between Lord and disciple and the relationship between fellow disciples is not about who is the greatest, but it's about who not only provides service, but is able to receive service. Not only who gives ministry, but who is able to receive ministry given to them. I've been thinking about that a lot this week as we're preparing for Holy Week services, but also, what does it mean to serve one another? I had a priest mentor one time say that everything in church is ministry and everything in life for the Christian is ministry. It doesn't matter what it is, particularly, as long as it's offered in the spirit of service. He used to say, it doesn't matter whether you're celebrating the Eucharist or mopping the church restroom floors or folding a bulletin or pulling weeds in the churchyard. It's all ministry. And then he would go on and say, and it doesn't matter whether you're a nurse taking someone's blood pressure or a parent changing a child's diaper or if you're mowing the lawn of a neighbor who is unable to mow their lawn. It's all ministry in the name of Jesus. That was a good sermon then. It's still a good sermon. And I would just add one thing to it. What would it be like if every act of service, whether something that we undertake one time or something that we do every day, say, wash the dishes in our house. What if every act of service we undertook, we offered to Jesus as an act of humility and love lived out practically for those around us, our family, our friends, our neighbors? What would it be if we began to see aspects of our job, even if our job bears no resemblance to being around church? How do we bring a sense of ministry and service to our jobs? How do we serve others in the name of Jesus? And then, and this will be the hard challenge, how do we learn to receive the service of others graciously and gratefully? How do we learn to simply say, thank you? Because in receiving another's service, in receiving another's ministry, we are encouraging them in their own discipleship path. So, as we prepare our way toward another Holy Week, toward another evening of remembering Jesus serving his disciples, I pray that each of us will begin to look for ways in which we can offer up our daily life as ministry to Jesus and ministry to one another, and that we will be able, with God's help, to become gracious receivers of the ministry that others offer to us. If you know these things, Jesus says, happy are you if you do them. Let us pray. O God, our Lord, you sustained your ancient people in the wilderness with bread from heaven. Feed now your pilgrim flock with the food that endures to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.